Good morning. As the Apostle Paul looked back over his life, the most remarkable thing that he saw about his life was the fact that he'd been forgiven. Nothing else in his life was as important or as great as that forgiveness. And that's what he talked about for three verses in the middle of 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians 15 is primarily about the subject of the resurrection of the dead. Beginning at verse 1 down through verse 8, the Apostle Paul mentioned various appearances that Christ had made to different people after his resurrection. We come to verse 8 and notice what Paul said. "And last of all, as to one untimely born, he appeared to me also." The expression there, "untimely born," is really a polite Greek expression for talking about a miscarriage. Paul's birth was out of sync, so to speak, that he was not one of the original apostles, but as one untimely born. The Lord appeared to him last. And then, beginning at this point, Paul got off the subject just briefly, and for three verses, he talked about the fact that he had been forgiven and had been saved through Jesus Christ. Please notice with me what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15, 9-11. "For I am the least of the apostles, and not fit to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God I am what I am, and his grace toward me did not prove vain, but I labor even more than all of them. Yet not I, but the grace of God with me, whether then it was I or they, so we preach, and so you believed." Notice what we find out about this forgiveness that Paul received in these three verses. Let us go back to verse 9. Notice the great humility of Paul as he thought about his forgiveness. Here is a man who really had everything in the world that he could brag about. Here is a man who had the most famous teacher of the first century, Gamaliel. Here was a man who had become one of the leading scholars of Judaism in the first century. Here was a man who was the star of Judaism in the first century A.D. The Apostle Paul was a man with incredible skill in writing, incredible skill in public speaking. We might say today, as we say about great men, that he was a man for all seasons. Even though he was an Orthodox Jew leading the Jews in the first century, Paul said about his own background that he was a Hebrew of Hebrews. He also said in Philippians chapter 3 that according to the old law, he was found blameless. In other words, if people looked at his life as a Jew, they could not find any point upon which to criticize him according to the old law. Now think about the bragging rights the Apostle Paul had as a Jewish leader. Paul could have been like some people today who claim to be self-made. I suppose we've all run into people who have said, "I went to college on my own. I supported myself. I got this job, and I rose to the top of the company. I did it all myself." Paul could have been that way. He could have bragged about all his accomplishments in life. Paul could have said, "I pulled myself up by my own bootstraps." But something happened to Paul in the middle of his zeal to persecute the people following Jesus Christ. Paul was himself stopped by Christ on the road to Damascus, and he found out that he had been persecuting the Lord's own people, those who believed in the true Messiah of Israel. Paul was overwhelmed with grief and with guilt over the mistake that he had made in his life. It is interesting that in Acts 22, verse 20, Paul said, thinking about his sins of his earlier years, that he had actually had a vote in favor of the stoning death of the preacher Stephen. He could not believe that he had made such an awful mistake. He was overwhelmed with grief. How could he have made such a mistake? On this very point in 1 Timothy 1:15, Paul said of himself that he was the foremost of all sinners, because he had persecuted the people of God. Therefore, in this passage, in verse 9, he says, "I am the least of all apostles, and not fit to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God." Let us go to verse 10 of 1 Corinthians 15 and notice what he says, "But by the grace of God, I am what I am." What happened to Paul? What happened was that God's grace was extended to Paul, and he was offered the opportunity to be forgiven. He was offered the opportunity to change his ways, to be forgiven of his sins, to make a 180-degree turn in his life, to be baptized, at which point his sins would be forgiven, and to be brought into the family of God. For a moment, think about how Paul could have reacted to God's offer of grace. Number one, he could have chosen just to disregard it. He could have chosen to ignore the offer of grace and forgiveness. There are those today who know exactly about this offer, but they've chosen to ignore it. They've chosen to disregard the Word of God. Somebody might say, "Well, if people know the truth, they're going to obey it." That's not correct. There are many people today who know the truth, but who reject it. I read about an evangelist in the evangelical world who was dealing with the Great Commission. He started reading the Great Commission. He began reading in Matthew 28:19, and this is what he said, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations." And then Jesus said, "Teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always to the end of the age." I could not believe what he left out of the Great Commission. He left out these words, "baptizing them in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit." He left those words out. Now why? Is it because he didn't know that those words were in there? Those words have been in the Bible since the 1st century A.D. Why would a person who claims to be a preacher of the gospel, claims to be an evangelical-type preacher, why would he leave out those words? Baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. He left those words out because he wants to be popular rather than to preach the truth. He knows what the Bible says there. Anybody can read Matthew 28:19-20. But he left out those words because it is easier to say, well, that's water salvation, you know. We're not saved by water, we're saved by the blood of Christ. So this verse cannot mean what it actually says. It's easier to say, I would not trade all the water in the world for what I feel right here in my heart. It is easier to ignore the Word of God than it is to follow it. It is more popular to leave out any reference to baptism than it is even to read the Scriptures the way they were written and take a chance on making people mad. Paul could have done that. Paul could have said to Ananias, the man that eventually baptized him, Paul could have said, I know what you're saying, but I'm just not going to follow it. There are many today who know what the Bible says, but they've chosen to disregard it. There's something else Paul could have done when he was offered the grace of God. He could have chosen to take advantage of it. Paul could have said to himself, well, if we're saved by grace, then why not just commit all these sins and then call upon the grace of God to forgive us? Paul answers this very question in Romans chapter 6. Listen as Paul pens these words. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Romans 6, verse 1 and following. Paul could have said, great, I accept God's offer, and this means that the more I sin, the more grace I will receive. There's a third way that Paul could have responded to God's offer of forgiveness, and that is Paul could have started making excuses concerning why he was not going to obey the gospel. Paul could have said to himself, I don't care what happened to me back there on the road to Damascus, I'm a Jew. I will always be a Jew. I will die a Jew. Paul could have said to himself, I don't care how wrong I am. I'm not going to change. Do you know people like that? I do. I know people who've made that very similar statement to me. I'm not going to give up my lifestyle just so that I can obey the gospel of Christ. But Paul did not make excuses. He did not take advantage of the grace of God by claiming this will allow him to sin that much more. He did not disregard the Word of God and ignore what it plainly said. On the road to Damascus, Paul discovered that he was not just a teensy-weensy bit off in his theology. He discovered that he was 100% wrong in his view of Christ and the Lord's church. He realized that if he were in fact going to be baptized, it would mean that the people he had been trying to kill would now be his new brothers and sisters in Christ. He accepted that verdict, and as he said in verse 10, by the grace of God, I am what I am. The Apostle Paul was like that lady back in Luke 7, who brought the alabaster bottle of perfume and anointed the feet of Christ with the perfume. Then she started crying, and she cleansed the feet of Christ with her tears and wiped his feet off with her hair. The Pharisees there could not understand why Christ complimented this woman. And here's what the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, said, "For this reason I say to you, her sins which are many have been forgiven, for she loved much. But he who is forgiven little loves little." Paul was like that lady. He knew how much he had been forgiven. He appreciated his forgiveness. Therefore, when he was stopped on the road to Damascus, he began laying plans to obey the gospel of Christ 3 days later. Without having eaten or drunk anything in that period of time, he was baptized by the preacher Ananias into the body of Christ. Christ is not going to physically stop us today on the road to Damascus and blind us with a life for 3 days. And we're not going to meet a man named Ananias who will baptize us into the body of Christ. But, dear friends, God can arrange for us to hear the gospel in our lives. How is it that we're listening to this program this morning? Could it be that God is working through His providence today to bring you the gospel message? Maybe you've studied the Bible and you want to know what the Lord's will is for you in your life. Our Lord said in His Sermon on the Mount, "Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you'll find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened." So in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 9, we read about the humility of Paul, and in verse 10, the fact that he accepted the grace of God, the plan of salvation, and was forgiven of his sins. Let's look at the last half of verse 10 and notice something else. Paul said, "His grace toward me did not prove vain, but I labored even more than all of them, but not I, but the grace of God with me." Paul began working for the kingdom of God, and his feet never touched the ground again. He was so grateful for his forgiveness, he had to spend the rest of his life preaching the gospel of Christ and serving as an apostle. How could Paul have taken it easy the rest of his life? How could he have coasted on through life and just peacefully died in his sleep someday after enjoying the pleasures of this life? He could not have done it, because he knew how much he had been forgiven. Let us think about our situation today as it compares to the Apostle Paul. In the first place, we are all sinners. Maybe we did not kill a preacher. Maybe we've never persecuted the church. But we all know that we're guilty of sin, don't we? You name the sin, and I think I could find someone in over 30 years of preaching the gospel that has committed that sin and had his or her sins washed away by the powerful blood of Christ. How then can people make such changes in their lives? Because they'd repented. Because they decided to change their behavior. They had turned away from their sins. They accepted the offer of grace from God. They were baptized, at which point they contacted the blood of Jesus Christ, and those people were forgiven of their sins and became part of the family of God. Friends, the grace of God has also been extended to us today. Have you accepted that invitation to be saved? On the day of Pentecost, the record says about 3,000 who were baptized after hearing just one sermon, only one sermon of the Apostle Peter. They realized they were sinners, that they had killed the Messiah, and they were baptized immediately into the body of Jesus Christ, Acts 2, verse 41. Over 2,000 years ago, on the day of Pentecost, it was their day of salvation. Friends, will this be your day of salvation? If we can help you, please let us know. And until next week, may God bless and keep you.